Gospel of John, chapter 20, and verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now we have a number of portions to read. We'll read them as we come to them. My subject would be the presence of the Lord. And I have six little incidents written down in my little notebook here. And we find that the people of God in these six different places, and there's many others of course, where they didn't realize the presence of God. The importance of recognizing the presence of our God in our midst. Here we have a woman. She's well known. Oftentimes our brethren have read about it, and our sisters as well, at various meetings. Here the Lord Jesus Christ meets this sister in her sorrow. I believe with all my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us all the time. But I believe that He's with us in a very, very special way in our difficult circumstances. But oftentimes we don't recognize His presence. Here's Mary, for instance. She loves the Lord. She loves the Lord so much that she's early at the tomb. But she's not expecting to see her Savior. Why? Because she had seen Him crucified 3 days earlier. She doesn't expect to see Him. And you know what, sometimes with you and I as well, in our different circumstances, we're not expecting our Lord. But surely in our hymns of praise and our hymns that we have sang since the conference began, and as we listen to our brethren as they take part in public prayer, surely we all here are expecting to experience the presence of our God with us. As far as I'm concerned, the greatest experience that we can experience is to know that God is with us of a truth. So here's Mary. In her sorrow, she's not expecting to see her Savior. Well, in a sense, she probably is. She's expecting to see the body in the tomb. And she comes, she finds the stone rolled away and the tomb empty. And she sees a figure there, and in her sorrow, she's not able to recognize Him. She addresses Him, she speaks to Him as though He was the gardener. You know, I haven't a shadow of a doubt that my blessed Savior lingered because He knew she was coming. And He was going to make sure at all costs that He was going to be there when she came. But of course she expected to see a body lying in the tomb. She never expected to see her Savior, the one she loved, standing before her and speaking to her. How much are we expecting to see our Savior and to hear His voice this weekend? Oh yes, I know we sing the hymns. But you know, we sometimes sing the hymns without thinking about what we're singing. Master, speak. Thy servant heareth. Waiting. Are we waiting? Or are we like Mary here? Maybe because of circumstances in days gone by. But as soon as He speaks, He says, Mary. She recognized His voice. As soon as He speaks, she recognized His voice. Rabboni. She comes. Somebody has said this, that at that particular moment, Mary was the most intelligent human being on the earth. Why? She knew a resurrected Lord and Savior. Oh, it wasn't very long until others found that out as well. He revealed himself to her in all her sorrow through his word. He said, Mary. I believe at a conference or at a ministry meeting or any of our meetings where the word of God is read and spoken from, I believe that you and I should take it. He's speaking to us personally, as individuals. He said, Mary. And the sorrow vanished. Her condition was completely changed. She became his messenger too. Her fellow believers, go and tell my brethren. Go and tell the others. The wonderful news that the one who died on Calvary's cross has risen from the dead. He said, Mary, are you listening for his word? I can remember being at a conference, I was 6 years saved. Oh, and all our brethren got up and they did their very best and they were helped by God. But there was one man. He had a message for me. And I took it. Oh, I heard what the other said, but there was one man and he had a particular message that suited my need at that particular case. You know, I've enjoyed that message ever since. It's been a real help to me. You know what it was? Very simple this. To take the Lord into our difficulties and the situation that we find ourselves in. How do you do it? Oh, that was good for me. Oh, he said, well, he said something like this. How do you do it? Well, if you're passing through times of difficulty, you always remember this. You think about him. You concentrate upon him. No matter what your circumstance, you always went a little bit further. Sometimes our fellow believers, why they don't seem to understand us. Well, you know they never understood him as well. Doesn't matter what facet or what circumstance we find ourselves in. If we are occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ, why? We always went that little bit further. And when you're occupied with him, you begin to appreciate him. You know something? The burden or the difficult situation that you happen to be in, it's not nearly half as bad today. Well, here it is. Recognition of the presence of our God, our Savior. With it. Let's turn over to the Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we'll read it verse 46. And when he had sent them away, that's the multitude, he departed into a mountain to pray. Oh, maybe we should read verse 45, sorry. Verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Here's another portion. And did you notice what it said? He sent the multitude away, after he got his own into a ship. You know, I believe in the New Testament, when the ship is mentioned, it's a little picture of assembly testimony. He got them gathered together. He got them separated. He got them into a ship, and he told them to go to the other side, and he sent the multitude away. And where did he go? He went up into the mountain to pray. You know, I just believe that's just a little picture of an assembly. Here we are, we're gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's left in a measure the responsibility up to you and I, and he's gone up to the mountain to pray. And he's up there at the right hand of God. And sometimes in our assembly activities and difficulty comes in, and they know it's hard rowing. And there they are. Ah, but what does it say? He saw them. Oh yes, he was up in the mountain, and they were on the middle of the sea, and there he is, they're having a hard time. Well, what about it? He sees, he understands. And what does he do? Well, he draws near. He draws near. You know, I contemplated reading in Matthew chapter 9, because I have to admit, I like Matthew chapter 9 better than Mark chapter 6. But you have the same story there. Because there it seems to present to us, or present to me at least anyway, a number of ways where the disciples, they had to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's practical experiences there in Matthew chapter 14, where we come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might appreciate Him more than we have. And one of them is the wonderful power that was His. Yes, although they had traveled with Him and they heard Him, and although they had saw Him healing all manner of sicknesses, they had just seen Him, by the way. They'd just seen Him, and they fed the multitude, and they helped them in that they put the baskets around, and they out of the 5 loaves and fishes. Sure, they'd just seen the wonderful power of our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated before them. Wait a minute, though. There was something else they had to learn. They had to learn that this wonderful power that our Savior possesses overcomes everything, and overcomes every circumstance, no matter what it is. They saw them feed the multitude. Yes, well, wait a minute. Here he's walking on the water. He's coming towards them. He's coming towards them. And what did they think? They thought it was a spirit. You know, these men were fishermen, and they knew it was impossible for a person to walk on water, naturally speaking. And as they seen this person coming towards them, they thought it was a spirit, because in their natural thinking, it was impossible for anybody to walk on top of the water. You see, they had to get their eyes opened and their realization and their understanding opened as well to recognize at least a little of the wonderful power of our blessed Savior, that no matter what the circumstance, He's able to overcome it, and He's walking on the water to meet them. Another thing I like about Matthew chapter 14 about it is because Peter's mentioned there. And as they see Him coming, I think it's John, he says, "It's the Lord." No, I guess that's John chapter 21. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to him from the water, and Peter, he says, "Well now, if it's that bid me come to thee and walk on the water, and the Lord bids him to come." And Peter, he gets out of that boat. You know, sometimes we look at Peter, and we can condemn him because he went down. He took his eyes off the Lord. I like to ask myself this. When I start finding fault with Peter for going down and taking his eyes off the Lord, and he started looking at circumstances around him, who amongst us doesn't do that? And he started to go down. I asked myself this question. Would I have stepped outside the boat? I don't think so. How about Peter though? And Peter stepped out of that boat and he began to walk along the water. What happened? As he was going down, he realized he took his eyes off the Lord. Sometimes we do that as well. And we get our eyes on the circumstances. We get our eyes on our difficulties and our problems. We get our eyes on our own condition as well. We get our eyes off the Lord, and we start to go down. Oh, you know, a conference is a good place to come and say, "Lord, save me. Save me from becoming like them that go down to the pit. Lord, save me." Surely, in a sense, that's what we've been praying. Master, speak. Surely, in a sense, it's, "Lord." Our brethren, we have been confessing how much and maybe how cold and hot we are as well. And maybe further away from the Lord, we realize that here Peter, he's going down. And he realizes it and says, "Lord, save me." What happened? The Lord stretched forth his hand and saved him. Here's a question for you. Did the Lord Jesus and Peter walk back to that boat side by side? I like to think they did. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say he carried them. He says immediately they were at the boat. But I would like to think, there's Peter, walking side by side, step by step with his Savior, back to the boat, along the way. You know, that's what he wants with you and I. He wants you and I to walk side by side and step by step, your hand and his hand, over all the circumstances. That's what he wants for us. Yes, he does. He does. I'm just going to mention the next one. Remember Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2, you know the Gospel of Luke starts with a journey, and it ends with a journey. In Luke chapter 2, we read about Mary and Joseph, and they went up to register. And as they were coming back, we're away from Jerusalem, as they were coming back, what happened? They went a whole day's journey. And you know what the Bible says? The Word of God says, they supposed that he was in the company. Oh, listen. You know, we could do that. That's a danger. That's a danger as we are gathered with the people of God at the conference gathering. We could suppose that he's in the company. And you know, it's very possible that he's in the company. But you know, they went a whole day's journey. And all of a sudden, they began to look for him. They began to look for him. And he wasn't where they supposed he was. This is why it's so important that we have a personal contact with our blessed Savior at these conference gatherings, meetings. And not only that, but make sure we do it day by day. Day by day. They went a whole day's journey. They supposed he was in the company, but he wasn't. And they searched for him. It took them 3 days to find him. But when they did, a seeking sinner, a seeking saint, always finds the Savior. They supposed he was in the company, but he wasn't. And so they sought him, and eventually found him. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24 now. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 15. Another well-known portion of the Word of God. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Of course, it's well known, isn't it? This portion of the Word of God. Here we have two disciples and they're on a journey. So are you and I. And they're discouraged by the way. All their hopes have been blasted. Why, they just saw the one that they loved, their Lord and Savior. They just saw him nailed to a felon's cross. They saw him possibly being taken down and his body put in that new tomb. All their hopes had been blasted as they stood at the cross. The one that they had placed all their hopes in. And here they are, they're walking together. And they're discouraged. And they're sad. And they're downhearted. You know something? I believe that in this condition, a believer, a person redeemed by precious blood, is the instrument that Satan can use to the downfall of others better than others. He can use a discouraged Christian, a downhearted Christian, a person who, in a sense, is cold in heart and away from the Lord. He can use us to the stumbling of a fellow believer. He can use us to the stumbling of unsaved people that we come in contact with. I believe that Satan just delights to get his hands on discouraged and downhearted believers. But wait a minute. Our Savior doesn't like his redeemed one. He doesn't like them to be discouraged and downhearted. And so right away it says, Jesus himself drew near. You know something? His concern for you and I and our spiritual condition is far greater than all of us put together. And if our condition isn't what it should be, it's his desire that it should be that and a whole lot more as well. It's his desire that indeed we might know his presence and that we might hear his voice and that we might recognize that he's with us of a truth no matter what our circumstances might have been before we come to the conference. And there they are, they're discouraged. Do you get discouraged? Sure you do. Do you get disappointed, downhearted, cold in heart? Sure we do. Jesus himself did. Oh, but their condition was such that they never recognized him. You know, I like this as a little conference. A little conference. Here they are, they're on a journey. You and I are on a journey. Oh, we're stopping the journey, you might say, for a little while as we gather around the Word of God and as we fellowship one with another at the conference. Oh yes, a little oasis in the wilderness journey. Yeah, but we're going to go on again, aren't we? If the Lord doesn't come before the weekend's through. Yes, we are. Jesus himself drew near. Oh, and afterwards, as they listened, they were able to say, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way? And their eyes were opened eventually. You know, the Word of God says, they went back to Jerusalem. Oh, they hurried back to tell their brethren. Oh, their attitude, their condition, everything was completely changed because Jesus himself drew near. And as they listened to the Word of God coming from the lips of the blessed Savior, it had the desired effect upon them in warming their hearts. And then when he took the bread and he broke the bread in their presence, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And immediately he departed. Listen, brethren and sisters, my main concern this morning is that you and I recognize the presence of our Savior with us even right now. Jesus himself drew near. Jesus himself drew near as they continued on the way. But is our eyes in such a condition that we don't recognize him? Maybe it's like Mary and Joseph. They were too busy. They were too busy meeting with their friends and relations and talking about the things that had happened and all the rest of it. They were too busy. They just took it for granted that he was with them. Sometimes you and I, not only does a sorrow crowd them out, sometimes we're too busy, that there's really no room in our hearts and lives that particular day, that particular time, for our Saviour, the one who loves us and gave himself. Jesus himself drew near. He's drawn here. You haven't a shadow of a doubt about it. Are you going to recognize his presence? Are you going to recognize him in his work? Is your conditioning state going to be changed so that we're going to go away from a conference another day? Jesus himself drew near. Have you ever wondered? I'm sure you have. Have you ever wondered why these disciples, they couldn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ? They thought he was a stranger, a traveler, and so on. Did you ever wonder why Mary, in John chapter 20, she never recognized him as well? It says here, of course, their eyes were holden. I would like to suggest this to you. You know, when I got saved 25 years ago, I got the eyes of my understanding open as I listened to the Word of God telling me about the Lord Jesus Christ who was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. And the punishment I deserve was laid upon him. And with his stripes, I was healed. And I believe if you take those two incidents together, Mary, she supposed him to be a gardener. Her sorrow had overcome her that she never recognized him. She wasn't expecting to meet him. She didn't recognize who he was. But he revealed himself to her in his word. Here, he spoke to them. They never recognized him through his word, but they recognized him in the broken bread, reminding them of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on Calvary's cross. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to me. Through his work, through his suffering on Calvary's cross on behalf of guilty sinners. Well, in Judges chapter 1, maybe we should come to that one. Judges chapter 1, please. Judges chapter 1 and verse 19. Judges chapter 1 and verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. There's an amazing verse in this chapter. Look what it says. I'm going to read it again. It says, and the Lord was with Judah. Now, there's no doubt about that. There it is. The Lord was with Judah. And he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Let me ask you this question. If the Lord was with him, and the word of God says the Lord was with Judah, well, what are chariots of iron to our God? What are chariots of iron to our Lord? It says the Lord was with Judah, and they were able to drive out the inhabitants of the mountain. But they weren't able to do it to the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. Why not? What are chariots of iron to our God? Nothing. Could I suggest to you that although the presence of the Lord was with them, the presence of the Lord wasn't a reality with them. You know, at the prayer meeting at Victoria Drive on Tuesday night, one of our brethren gave out that hymn. Power. It's mentioned in every verse. Power. Power to know. Power for this. Power for the next thing. Here it says, the Lord was with Judah. The Lord was with him. And the Lord being with him, they were able to drive out the inhabitants of the mountain. But why weren't they able to drive out the inhabitants of the valley? It says, because they had chariots of iron. Could I suggest to you that they had got their eyes on the things around. They got their eyes on the difficulty. And although the Lord was with them, his presence wasn't a reality with them. You know, that could be our trouble as well, isn't it? Jesus himself drew near. They didn't recognize him as the word of God who was ministered, but they recognized him as he broke the bread. Here the Lord was with them. They were able to accomplish some, but they weren't able to accomplish all. Why? Because they got their eyes on the things. And the last one I have here is Apostle Paul. He says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, There he is, he's speaking about that trial. He said, no man stood with me. He said, oh, but the Lord stood with me. Could I suggest this to you? I know you'll agree with me. I know you will. That the presence of the Lord was a living reality with the Apostle Paul, no matter what circumstance he found himself in. Whether it was when they were singing in the prison, whether it was chained to a soldier at Philippi, whether it was standing before these other men, he said, no man stood by you. He said, the Lord stood by you. That's what we need, isn't it? A recognition, a realization of the presence of our Savior with us. May God bless you.